Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're going to get into Eli and Romo and that whole debate later on today as well. I mean, it's going to keep firing off. But the question I have for you right now is, are you sad that Eli is retiring? You got to beat up on this guy for like the last, what, eight games? Actually, six or seven, because he didn't play one of them against you. You got Daniel Jones. But
that's Eli Jr., though.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, and that's a great point there, Shippy. Because I think for me, I was like, okay, Eli was done. He was toast. You put a fork in him. And all of a sudden, now I have this whole new thing I have to deal with, and we knew it well. Now, obviously, you have a new coaching staff, new defense, and everything, so you have to relearn, especially with what they're doing, too, because they have a new coaching staff, a new offensive coordinator, even though you know all the plays they're going to run. But they like, you had something that you could kind of look at and go, we got that one. Every this year, we walked into the season, we got the Giants. We're good. Don't worry about them. And now, I'm kind of sad that we don't get to beat up on Eli Manning anymore. And that DeMarcus Lawrence doesn't get his two sacks or whatever it is a year because of that.
No, this is very, like, when you ask this question, I absolutely, because I'm a nerd, thought about Richard Nixon. Because that's what you do in these conversations. And because I'm pretty sure it was Richard Nixon that said, you're not going to have Nixon to kick around anymore. And that's what I thought about. I'm like, part of me is kind of sad that we don't have Eli Manning to kick around anymore. Now, obviously, the dream is that he goes and becomes an analyst and we can still make fun of him and be like, oh, his forehead's even bigger on the blah, blah, blah. Like, I need Eli Manning as
in your
our,
life.
Yeah. As wow. Your easy person to make fun of, because think about it. Sure, you don't like Eli Manning, but don't you have those sports entities in your life that you're glad they're there so you can just hate indiscriminately? Like, Eli Manning is that person. You're like, oh, Eli sucks. Oh, he has two Super Bowl rings, including one that should have been yours in 07. Oh, I hate him so much. And like, yo, look at his big stupid forehead. And like, Eli Manning is the person that I just assume would be around forever and I could mock. And I was like, oh, we're going to play the Giants. Awesome. We're going to get four interceptions. Or oh, did you see Eli get benched? Ha, ha, ha. Because he's the worst. And so I'm legitimately like kind of sad that Eli Manning is going to retire. They said they're going to make it official tomorrow with a ceremony and a press conference and all that, which I totally get. But I'm kind of sad that he's not going
to
be around.
But you get the opportunity to find the new generation, the new iteration of Eli Manning. It's just so you can just kind of put that away in the Hall of Fame and move on.
See, and I heard what you did there, low key, just put him in the Hall of Fame. That should be, I want to figure this out now, but I might need a little bit more time to think about it, is who's going to be that next person that I just hate in sports? Like, for whatever reason, and that's the thing, like, it could be a very logically well thought out reason, or it could be a nonsense reason. There could be absolutely no logic behind why you hate that sports figure whatsoever. I might need to think that over just a little bit and get back with you tomorrow, perhaps at a segment, now that Eli is gone, who is your new sports hate for whatever reason? I'm going to have to think that over.
Okay, all right, yeah, figure out who your new sports hate is, and Shippy, I know you're a big hater of people in sports, so
yeah,
you're going to have an entire
probably
list of
the
those.
Biggest hater on this show. I think
honestly,
agree.
I hate all of the people.
I like the text from the 217. And where is the 217, by the way? Giants, we're bringing in Garrett. Eli, I'm out. I'll see you later. He was like, no, I've seen too many years of that.
So, oh man.
All right.
So it has nothing to do with the fact that he like didn't want to be a backup again. He was like, ah, I can overcome.
Kevin, I'm out. From the 214, you do realize you're promoting bullying right now, right?
Oh man,
oh,
that's
no.
A good point.
I mean, they put LOL on the back of it, but so well.
So I can't say that he's got a five head.
I think it was
a,
dude,
wow, dude, oh. He's probably super self conscious about that.
Yeah, man, he doesn't have dreams; he has movies. Yeah. All right.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Wait, but you know what? Any conversation we can have is he can just tap his fingers on a desk, and you can just hear the clink of those two Super Bowl rings, and I'm like, well, there you go.
Yeah, but when he salutes, it's like way back here. So
okay.
Anyway, that's a different story for a different time. Man, people are already texting in the people that they hate the most.
Ooh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I might put that down as
over
the leading
Aaron
candidate.
Hernandez?
I mean, Aaron Hernandez is dead. I feel like I have to move on from
still
that.
Still a bad
right?
person, though.
Worst Aaron, sure. right? Like, he's yeah. the worst Aaron.
He killed people.
I mean, sure.
All right.
Worst. I'm not here to debate the merits of Aaron
At
Hernandez.
Some point, we can rank the list of worst Aarons,
Real
though.
Interesting mountain to die on, Hagee.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. All right, the other thing.
Aaron Hernandez killed me.
The other thing that happened last night, Chippy, was the return of this man. He finally got his opportunity
Cut
to step
four,
foot
baby.
On a basketball court again, and here he goes with his highlights.
It's Alonzo, ball back to Zion. Oh, my heaven, straightaway three.
Absolutely good!
Straightaway three.
Good again! Good again!
Just like they drew it up.
Now he's got it. Right wing three again.
Got it again! You have got to be
Oh, my. Step back three.
Left three! Slash! No!
And so that's Zion last night going nuts. 17 straight points in the fourth quarter last night, Kevin. And I know you and all the Dukies out there went insane. But you know what? It's not just the Dukies. The basketball world is in love with Zion.
Oh, yes. I most certainly had a text interaction with a prominent basketball person last night. I was like, you must be freaking loving this right now. And I was like, it was awesome. Then, of course, they lost the game because he's on a minutes restriction. So they took him out of the game. And so I get that. Like, the Pelicans.
So you think they could have won if
they absolutely would have won.
Interesting.
The Pelicans lost to the Spurs, and I get that that's not like their number one goal for last night. It's to make sure that Zion stays healthy and they can roll him out there. But I definitely think they would have won, but they're like, all right, you have to go back and sit on the bench, and then they lost. So check this out, though. Here's a stat line for last night. 22 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He shot 4-for-4 from 3 and I think 73% from the field. He scored 22 points and had 7 rebounds in 18 minutes. So that was his minute restriction, but that fourth quarter was insane.
Yeah, all right, so here's my thing. The three-pointers, I know he made all of his three-pointers, but nobody was guarding him. Nobody stepped up to him to block those shots. He was just standing out there on the perimeter wide open. How long is that going to keep up? Because that's 12 of his 17 points, Kevin.
I would imagine.
And if you multiply 4 times 3.
Yes, I understood your math.
I was just helping you with the math.
I appreciate that.
So that's 12 of his 17 points. So, like, if he's
17 straight points.
If he's standing out there on the perimeter, how often is he going to get that opportunity to be that wide open? Because tonight, that first night was the night to kind of like see what he is, right?
But the thing is, that's not his game. Like, I know he can shoot a three, but if you go ahead and close out on him on the three, guess what he's going to do? He's going to blow right past
you. He does have a move. He does
dunk.
Have that move?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, absolutely.
I did see him from one point at the top of the key as a rebound was going up, like take 2 steps to get to the basket and put it back. I did see that.
Did you also see the one where he flew over the 7-foot-1 guy to get the rebound that had a step on him?
Yeah, that was an over the back.
No, it wasn't.
It should have been.
Should not have been. The NBA knows what's up. And so, look, he's not going to consistently make those levels of threes. Like, his three game throughout the year at Duke, it did improve. But I think it's the same thing we were talking about this off air with Giannis. Is that's cool if Zion can shoot the three, and I appreciate adding that layer to his game. But that's not what I consistently need him to do. What I consistently need him to do is get down in the post and chump people out. And that's what I think he can do.
But that's giving you 2 points every time, Kevin. And that's not the modern NBA.
Yeah, you'd rather score 3.
Yeah, everybody's told me that
that's more than 2.
You want to be a 3-point shooter in this game. Like, the game is changing. I don't know if you've heard or not, but the NBA is changing right now. And post players are becoming dinosaurs in the game.
Well,
that's what I'm being told.
I mean,
I've been told to change my mind on how I look at the NBA, and that's why Kristaps doesn't have to play in the post.
Okay, well, yeah, because Kristaps, I mean, he can't really play in the post. I would just say that Zion's field goal percentage in college was freaking ridiculous. Okay, yeah, here it is. I was just trying to check. He shot 68% from the field. All right. So even if you're only getting, obviously, as you referenced, 2 points, you would need to be shooting what, like 45.6% from three? That is not what he's going to consistently shoot from 3 point. All right. And if you're shooting 68% from the field versus 45% from three, fair enough. It's a push because the points even out. But I would be willing to wager that he's going to slide down into that, what, 35% from 3 point shooting, and he'll be shooting better than 53% from inside the arc. So it's still the more efficient play to just send him to the basket. And I think that's what will eventually happen. But for a start, oh my gosh, it was freaking awesome. You know what I think is
probably be better if he shot 100% from three, though.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And
I mean, he did it already.
He
so
is on pace to shoot that.
If you're shooting 100% from three, why not just stay out there and shoot threes all day?
Okay, yeah. Fine. Then
that's a joke, people. Don't lose your minds.
I was going to say, then the first one he misses, would you be like, all right, you need to stop?
Yes. Hey, look, Ben Simmons, chill out.
I'd probably cut him.
You know what I really like is that the Pelicans fans just skipped a step and they started to chant MVP.
Dude, he is.
I mean,
he's got that quality. He can be an MVP in the future. I do have a concern that he looks a little chubbier than he did in college. I know people like rip Mark Jackson for questioning that, but like to
be now winning a title with the Warriors,
to do some of the more elite things that I think he can do, to be able to have his body stay in the right shape and form, in like when I'm talking about his knees and his ankles and his lower body, the impact, Kevin, you know.
Yes.
You know the difference in impact when you're trying to run at 300 pounds versus running, yes, at 200 pounds.
So first Kevin was bullying people, now Corey's body shaming people.
Well, and I did see a couple of things as he talked about that, is he's been working on, especially on his rebounding, landing on 2 feet. And so
I saw him a number of times land on the other foot,
exactly,
the other leg last night. And I was like, that's not good. That you're going to have both knees out.
That overcorrection is going to be problematic.
You see it with Jalen Smith all the time. Jalen, yes, Smith overcorrects with his other foot all the time.
And that's not good. But he talked about like the shock absorption if you land it on both feet. And then, of course, you can isolate numerous plays where, I mean, that's going to take time. And that is a concern. You're right. You're landing 285 pounds on one leg. That's problematic.
The great Bear Grylls once taught me that you have to be a spring when you land.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right?
So you have to kind of buckle your knees as you fall and then roll at the same time. So Zion needs to learn how to roll better is what I'm learning right there.
Oh, okay.
The other thing that happened yesterday, Kevin, is there is, Shippy, an arrest warrant out for Antonio Brown, and they have been told he does have a gun and that he can be seen as a detriment, as violent, and as a problem. They're trying to do everything they can to say, we are opening our doors for you to come into our place, put yourself in here so it doesn't have to turn into any big problem. But I think this is going to be something that we're all not going to see, Kevin.
Look, given the way that he has reacted in some like more by the book situations, you absolutely have to look at him as potentially a threat. You absolutely do. One of the things I wanted to throw out there about this arrest warrant, I wanted y'all to run an exercise with me. So Antonio Brown didn't want to pay the moving people per the arrest warrant. And then the word is that he threw a rock at him. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. In your mind, what size was that rock?
What?
All right. So
have to do with anything?
I mean, maybe nothing. But I thought about it, and in my mind, I had one size rock, and I think Corey was thinking of a different size rock.
I'm absolutely thinking of a different size, okay, rock.
What determines a rock and a pebble?
Okay, see? And that's a great question, because in my mind, Antonio Brown has this like rock garden, and he skipped all of that and took the main rock piece that anchors it and like had to hoist it over his head and hurled it at the mover, who ducked out of the way, and then it made a giant dent in the moving truck. And then the more I think about that, the more I think that's probably not what happened. But when I initially heard that, I was like, dude, that's effed up, because the scenario played out in my head with the giant rock and denting the moving van and everything like that. But that's probably not what happened. So I want to know, everyone else, what was the size of the rock?
I think two things, Shippy. I think of Friday when Craig picked up that brick off of the thing and hit Zeebo with it. That's what I did. You know, when I hit that coyote, I picked up that stone that was one of those big white stones that kind of lines your garden. But are you saying like an acorn-sized pebble or even?
Yeah. I think he was trying to get the girl's attention across the street at her window, and he just missed.
Well, and somebody said...
Yeah, trying to wake her up. And be like, hey, let me in.
You up? From the 682, probably pea size. From the 214, grapefruit size. From the 972, this one's amazing, Dwayne size. And because he's the Rock, Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh.
From the, I got it, from the 214, palm size.
From the 817, well, they said he was driving away, but it was big enough rock to do damage.
That.
So he couldn't have thrown the rock you're talking about.
Oh, he's got a great arm.
Yes, he could. That rock would do damage. That doesn't clarify anything. Those are all kinds of different sizes of rocks. And that's just what I wanted to know.
Yes, it was Debo, not Zebo. Sorry, my reference was wrong.
Get it together. We're the KNC masterpiece
right
here. Pebble
is 2 to 64 millimeters.
Okay. I don't know how big a millimeter is. We'll figure that out later. Coming up next, Will McClay on Byron Jones. Does he kind of insinuate that he's okay with letting him go? Talk about that next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Kevin, real quickly, the Vikings are turning to Gary Kubiak for their assistant head coach and offensive advisor. You asked me a while back how I would feel about Kirk Cousins' season and him with a new quarterbacks coach. They will continue, I think, with that assistant head coach, offensive advisor role. I think that Dalvin Cook might even have a better year than he had last year. So I think that Kirk Cousins will benefit from that tremendously because Kubiak knows the running game very well. And in addition to that, Kevin, after a dominant 2 days, Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle out of South Carolina, said that he's done, has a little tendonitis in one of his knees. Now, I question you on that. You brought up the question too. I think that if you've dominated for 2 days in practices where all the scouts are there watching you, you don't have to play in the game later. And you don't. And if you're feeling a little soreness, instead of putting bad tape out there, just leave it alone.
Whoa.
Do you think that we should freak out a little more about his knee and that should be a big examination?
I mean, yeah. If you can't even go before your NFL career starts, I'm losing interest.
Okay. All right. That's a very, very interesting topic. And well, you know what? It's going to be draft coverage here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Broadus coming on with us tomorrow. We'll talk about that. And obviously the draft depth will get more and more as we go along, Kevin, because there after the Super Bowl, man, that's all our focus is. For DFW, our focus is who the Cowboys need to get. I keep seeing Xavier McKinney's name pop up over Grant Delpit. And I keep seeing defensive tackles get thrown in this mix, too. Can you get the right combination to make this defense good? Now, Will McClay is at the Senior Bowl, Kevin, and he was talking about a number of different things. And you know how much we love Will McClay around
here. Yep.
People look at him and think that dude could be a GM anywhere.
I'm just curious, and I know this is not the point of this segment. Is that sentiment starting to change at all? Where, like, the team doesn't have success, so you're not fans of anybody? Not you, but just the fan base.
No, I think we pick and choose who we have respect for.
Okay.
You know, based on their past history. And I think with Will McClay, there's still that there because he has hit on a number of players. Now, have the last few drafts been great? I mean, you did get Taco in one.
Yeah. I mean, your last two top picks have been horrendous.
And even, Marinelli, who was in love with Tristan Hill, didn't like him by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So But I also wonder, Kevin, is that part of that dynamic with the front office for the Cowboys that's the problem still? Where you're just like, okay, let that guy have his pick. Instead of saying, no, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna pick these guys. Not because you think they're the best, but because our scouting department did their freaking job.
Yeah.
And this is the guy that we need to get. I really think that McCarthy's approach is, you find me the best talent, you select the best talent, I will make them work. I can coach them up. All right. I really think that's his mindset because he believes he's that kind of coach. It's my job to connect to the players, and it's my job to get the most out of them. You got to make sure you get me the most talent. And I think the Cowboys can do that because I think that Will McClay has a good idea of what the most talent is. But they brought up Byron Jones.
Yeah.
And Byron Jones may be one of the most divisive cornerbacks here in DFW ever because nobody likes him, but everybody knows we can't live without him.
It's really weird. Like, I like him just fine. I just don't know if I like him $16 million worth.
You don't like the fact that he doesn't force turnovers.
Sure.
And that's an understandable thing because I do believe, and I saw a stat earlier, Kevin. Since 1970, the NFL-AFL merger.
Yep.
Jones is the only cornerback to start at least 70 games during his first five seasons.
Okay.
And recorded fewer than five interceptions.
Okay, well,
he's managed two picks in 73 starts.
What a great statistic that encapsulates all of the amazing
he
and
goes
maddening
into free
thing.
Agency,
wow.
Kevin, with a streak of 40 games without an interception.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people will say, but that's on Chris Richard. That's on the coaching. They didn't teach that. All they taught was, defend the player. That's fine. You still have to figure that out. And that's what Will McClay was talking about when he was talking about Byron Jones.
No, he's a starting caliber, NFL corner. He's a really good player, and we have to figure out his financial value and if it fits for us.
Wow.
Here's the other part.
Sounds like he kind of wants him to leave.
And I want to see, let's go to cut nine here too, because he added more about Dak Prescott too.
We expect Dak to be our quarterback. If the owner GM says we're going to get it done, he signs the check, so we'll get that done, and we're excited about it, and we realize the value of him as a player. But we've got to go, and we've got to evaluate that because you're never one player away. We want to improve the position at all points, and so we'll look at that throughout the draft process.
All right, so obviously, I would love to add a quarterback in the draft. And when I said that, Kevin, people lost their minds. I said it on Twitter, at in the majors, by the way, at @OthankKevin, at Shippy Fun Sports.
But because they just assume adding a quarterback means you're
to
out
replace
on Dak.
I'm okay. Not out on Dak. Right. But I don't want to sit here and say, hey, we're set there, especially if Dak gets hurt for any reason. I'd love to have a quarterback that I can turn to and say, all right, take the reins. And if that is, hey, we got to get one in free agency, that's fine. I want a good one in free agency. I don't want crap. But then he added that after he said that Byron Jones is a starting caliber NFL corner, a really good player. We have to figure out his financial value and if it fits us. I get all that. I get all of that. But then he added this part. It's the NFL. You've got your quarterback. You've got to pay.
Yep.
So they're already there, Kevin. Priority one. Steven said it. You have a receiver. He didn't say you have to pay that guy, but he did say you have a receiver. You have good players. When you have good players, you have to figure out how to pay them or how to survive. So that's what we do in the front office, is try and figure out how to work those contracts, get the best possible team with those guys. So we got to do that through the whole process. So there is the tier of he might be left out because of Amari Cooper and that. That being said, does that make you think that they are, look, we are offense is going to carry the defense? Because I'm frightened of taking a piece away from this defense that is good and that is very good and thinking that you're just going to be fine in the passing game whenever you got those Cheeto and Jordan Lewis and X player and maybe an Anthony Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that concern because you go back to the very beginning. Look, you go back to the very beginning of his quote, and it doesn't particularly sound like he thinks that having Byron Jones around is imperative at all. Like, play that specific clip again, because at first he says, yeah, he's all right. And then he escalates it to, he's good. And then he said, I mean, essentially we want to keep him if it makes sense financially. So it doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement.
No, he's a starting caliber, you know, NFL corner. He's a really good player, and we have to figure out his financial value and if it fits for us.
So, I mean, so he's like, oh, yeah, no, I like him. Hopefully it works out. That doesn't sound like, I mean, when you hear, and I know they're different people and they speak in different ways. I certainly understand that. But when you hear any discussion from anybody in the franchise about Dak Prescott, they're like, yeah, Dak Prescott is the man. Dak Prescott is our future.
Yep.
When you hear just about anybody talking about Amari Cooper, especially Jerry, well, Amari's going to be here. We'd like to see him retire here, blah, blah, blah. When you hear Will McClay talk about Byron Jones, he's like, I mean, yeah, he belongs in the NFL. And if the money makes sense, we'll keep him.
So the Cowboy, and I don't know, is that just placating for contract conversation?
I don't think so, because he doesn't necessarily, like, I know he has input, but he doesn't make that decision, and he might be slow playing, or that might just be the more practical way in which he speaks, but it just didn't sound like Will McClay thinks you have to keep Byron Jones, because maybe Will McClay's sitting in the room. He's like, I get you somebody different for cheaper.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, man. I really do. I don't know exactly who that name is or what that name would be, or maybe if they feel comfortable saying, hey, you know what, we got a safety that we could turn into a nickel cornerback. Let's go ahead and add a safety, because then you can move Cheeto and Jordan Lewis, and we'll run with that for this year. But we have to continue adding depth. So cornerback is still always going to be a problem if you don't have Byron Jones. And maybe you're right, Kevin. Maybe he says $16 million, and they're like, nope. And he says, all right, somebody's going to pay me that.
And he's probably right about that.
The Eagles will likely pay me something like that. The, you know, somebody out there is going to pay me that kind of money. And I don't. My question is it a go see what you want and then come back to us kind of situation?
No.
And would you be offended if you're Byron Jones and you said, I want to go see if I can make $3-4 million more?
I would be offended if my team said, go see what you want. Because I would be like, I want to be here. Do you want me here or not? Like, if
we want you here for 12.
Okay, that's fine. At least then, like, I don't have to like it, but at least then I know what they're working with. And I would tell them in that moment, I would say, if you want me here for $12 million a year, then you don't want me here. I mean, I guess you'd probably go through the agent. This is why I would be a terrible negotiator as a player, because I would make every moment like live or die. I'm not a big fan of the concept of negotiation. Like, you know what you can pay. I know what I'm willing to accept. Give me your number. I'll give you my number. That's the only thing we need to do. We just need to do it one time.
There are a lot of people chiming in on this. As soon as Byron signs with Philly, he'll intercept 9 passes next year. Will McClay, from the 214, and I don't know if I agree with this, Will McClay is trash. Why would you say that?
I told you, because people are out on this team.
Isn't he the one who scouted Brett Maher for us? He hits on lucky long shots. Jerry needs to fire him. He's the definition of mediocrity. And from the 682, if you let Tyrone Crawford go, you get $8 million more, which could get you Byron Jones back.
And normally I would be on board with that, but the illumination over the last several months about how important his leadership is, that gives me some cause for concern. It really does. But it doesn't surprise me that people are across the board on this.
Yeah, man. Look at all the.
But I think that's what it's going to take. And like that's just what the Cowboys have to decide. And that's why, quite frankly, maybe. The way that Will McClay described it is exactly the way it needs to be. At the end of the day, maybe he needs to be very pragmatic about all of this and says, look, if financially it makes sense, great. Because that's what it felt like last year in the offseason. Hey, whoever wants to make a deal, come on up and make a deal and we'll make it happen. And if maybe you look at Byron Jones and you're like, will you take 12 a year? Because I'll do that deal right now. You want 16? I don't know.
A lot of people battling back and forth of he's a waste of money or he is the best money that you can get out there. It's just wild how many people go back and forth on whether or not they like Byron Jones, who's been a quality cornerback. Kevin.
But you just pointed out what's going to be the issue, right? He's about to get paid. And that's when it changes how everyone feels about you.
Yeah. Kevin, the first day of the NCAA convention ended with one major initiative that affects Olympic sports. Now, I know you're big into Olympic sports and the NCAA. I hate the NCAA.
They're the worst.
They pledged to enhance the organization's policy on sexual violence. Oh, and good. More discussion about how to compensate athletes for their name, image, and likeness. So, on the policy front, though, one council approved legislation that will allow athletes to be designated as elite by U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee to receive additional training expenses, including travel for parents, guardians, coaches, and sports experts.
So on the surface, that sounds like a good idea. By the way, do you know where this convention is taking place? Hilariously enough,
California.
Yeah. And they set this up years ago. So who would have thought that would have been one of the two states that would have, well, maybe you could have guessed, but where all of this stuff has come up. My only concern is how corrupt is that process going to be to determine who's elite? So like, let's say you've got a lot of these families are rich, though obviously not all of them, but a lot of them have a good amount of money that can afford some of this stuff. But if I told you you're going to get $50,000 in free training, isn't that worth a $20,000 bribe to you?
Yeah.
So that's my only concern is, like, obviously I support anything that is tougher on sexual violence or anything like that. I am concerned on the flip side, though, that this seemingly good thing that they're doing could end up backfiring and ending up in more corruption. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, some early bold Super Bowl predictions, plus your first chance of the show to win $1,000. All of that next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105 Through the Fan, about to get into some early predictions for the Super Bowl. But, Kevin, there's a really interesting little nugget dropped by Todd Archer. I know you got Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
Mark Colombo?
Yep.
Hired as the offensive line coach. So there you go. Here's another little nugget. Former receivers coach Derek Dooley interviewed for the tight ends job. Whoa. And Jerome Henderson is the defensive backs coach.
Oh.
All of those guys coached in Dallas.
Derek Dooley was terrible, right?
I don't know. Was he?
Oh,
like, I know a lot of
whoa.
People hate him and everything, but whoa. There was that, you know, remember whenever he was trying to talk to Dez, and Dez was like, man, why you always got to talk to us like that? And he was like, why can't you just be like, we're going to go out there and whoop everybody's ass?
I mean, he did go to Mizzou. Clearly he's quality.
Yeah, well, Shippy, he also was a great coach at Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Is that his fault or is that Tennessee's fault?
Didn't he sit in some like white stool? He would sit on a white stool all the time on the sidelines. I don't know. It's a weird story. But the thing is, you're starting to see that whole thing, the Cowboys, everybody said, Jerry Jones said, somebody will take them. And the Cowboys staff was beating the Giants consistently in the division. And so the Giants have said, hey, I think it's a good idea to hire a lot of guys that are quality coaches. And I wonder if Jason Garrett has been saying all of these guys are quality coaches that I think you should give consideration to. All right, some early bold predictions for the Super Bowl, Kevin. And I know you're going to make bets based on all of these.
Oh, yeah.
What's your boldest prediction about what's going to happen in this year's Super Bowl?
The national anthem will hit the under.
Ooh, that is bold because it never does, man.
Yeah.
My boldest prediction is that a running back will win MVP.
Ooh.
Oh, man, that's pretty good.
That does not happen super frequently.
No, actually, that doesn't happen very often. That's pretty good. I think that my boldest prediction for the Super Bowl is that a wide receiver is going to throw a touchdown.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say win MVP, and I was like,
Kevin, did you have a running back in mind who might win MVP?
I mean, I could see it after last week. Who could not see that being the guy?
Bold prediction number one, and I don't actually know that this is a very bold prediction, though.
Oh, no. Off to a tough start.
Patrick Mahomes will be the story of the game. That seems pretty easy, right? Like, that seems very...
You know what? I think that is a bold prediction.
Really?
I disagree. I think the story of this game...
It's going to be who scores more points.
Is one Andrew Reed.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, I do.
I like this.
Because think about it. All right, let's say that the Chiefs lose this game. Yes?
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, no. Could Pat Mahomes ever conceivably make it back to a Super Bowl? Yes, I know. Dan Marino never made it back, so maybe he won't. Sure, maybe he won't, but don't you get the idea that he's probably got about a good 8 to 10 more attempts to make it back to the Super Bowl? In his first 2 years as a starter, he was a BS offsides call away from being in two Super Bowls. So he made it to the championship game, and then the next year he made it to the Super Bowl. And if it weren't for an offsides call, he would have made it to the Super Bowl both years. He'll probably get another shot at this, okay?
That's bold.
But Mr. Reed, yeah, but you don't ever win these games. You got Philly to the Super Bowl after taking a lot of tries, and you lost. You got the best quarterback in the league to the Super Bowl, and you lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I wonder how much longer he has. So let's say that they lose this game. How many more years does Andy Reid get? Because if you're telling me, oh, he just got to the Super Bowl, they're going to be thrilled. Bull crap. You have the best quarterback in the league, and everyone's just going to sit around and go, well, I hope we win the Super Bowl one of these days. That's not going to happen. I think this game is going to become about Andy Reid and the referendum on him. Because if he loses, how much longer till he keeps his job? But if he wins, he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer. Those are some really high stakes right there. If Pat Mahomes loses, okay, well, he's 23, he's got an MVP, and he's been to the Super Bowl. He'll be fine.
All right, I like that.
So
I
do think that's a bold prediction.
All right.
Or maybe that's my bold prediction.
And a lot of people are sending in their bold predictions right now. LaShawn McCoy is going to be the MVP. this chick sings pretty fast. I'd bet the under two. And then somebody said 56-49 Kansas City college score type game. Oh,
somebody predicted a wardrobe malfunction.
I hope something like that happens.
Oh, yeah? Well, guess what? It does. And it happened to Andy Reid. How do you feel now?
Oh, that's not as exciting.
Actually, it could be like a lot of fun to discuss that.
What are you
that
doing
topic.
Right
I
now?
Mean, we got Shakira and J-Lo, but you throw Andy Reid out
Whoa.
There. Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy Garoppolo won't need to do much. Is that a bold prediction?
No. I mean, sure. We all agree with that. Look, that's one of the reasons why I just threw out there that a running back could win MVP. And if not, wouldn't you think about some of those defensive players ahead of Garoppolo?
That's the thing, though, man. If Patrick Mahomes does his thing, then Jimmy Garoppolo might have to do a lot. It was pretty easy the way that they beat Green Bay, because Green Bay was just, they did what the Cowboys did. They said, we're sending all our guys into your backfield. And basically, they just pushed a guy out to the edge and said, all right, this lane's wide open. You can run until a secondary player gets you. That's all they did. So they really didn't have to do much against Green Bay to beat them. But Jimmy Garoppolo, if Kansas City's defense, which was revamped over the offseason, adding Matthew really does help. If they all they have to do is say, all right, whatever y'all are doing, we're going to adjust to it because Green Bay never adjusted, then Garoppolo might have to do something. I think that is pretty bold.
Do you know how long it's been since a running back has won MVP of the Super Bowl? Do you think you could guess? Do you think you could tell me the person and how long it's been?
Emmitt Smith.
Ooh.
1999. Terrell Davis.
Oh.
1999.
Oh, you're so close.
2000.
Terrell Davis was 1998.
Eight. Okay.
Emmitt Smith was the one before that, so I was going to give you half a point for that. But then Terrell Davis, after that, you get 10,000 points for that. You get 100,000 points if you could tell me who it was before that. Plus, I'll know if you know the answer that you're cheating.
Oh, who was before Emmitt Smith?
Yes. This has got to be one of the more, not the
obscure?
Most. Yeah, more obscure Super Bowl MVPs outside of like the first 10 years.
Walter Payton.
Okay, well, that's not that obscure.
A good guess.
That's a terrible guess.
But that was the 80s.
He was underrated.
Yeah, remember the 84 Bears?
He was not underrated. He's one of the best of all time. It was Otis Anderson.
Oh, I should have known that one. That was Bill Parcells' guy.
Otis Anderson, who won the Super Bowl MVP for Super Bowl 25, even though everybody knows the real MVP was Scott Norwood. But the point is, it's been 22 years since a running back has won Super Bowl MVP.
But he said Ricky Waters. Ricky Waters, actually.
That's a fair guess.
Yeah, Ricky Waters Hamburg. Had a great game that game.
Three linebackers have won Super Bowl MVP since the last time a running back won.
Malcolm Smith.
That is one of them.
Marcus Allen.
What? No, we're not guessing anymore.
Eddie George.
Von Miller.
Okay, Von Miller is another one of them. So at least you're guessing the right category.
I love linebackers.
See if you can take a stab at this last
Julio
one.
Franco Harris. Frank Gore.
Oh, I like that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's Ray Lewis.
We all knew that. Everybody knew that answer.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. You just didn't want to take part. All right, Tyreek Hill will get the best of Richard Sherman. I think he's going to beat Richard Sherman at least three times.
Yeah, because he's just going to do go routes time and again.
Run.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to be physical. Richard Sherman's going to be physical with him at the line, but that's the thing is this dude is quick, and if you don't have a safety there, he's gone. And Pat Mahomes could throw the ball all day. So it's going to take it's going to take all three levels to stop Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes in this game. Nick Bosa is going to dominate the Chiefs offensive line.
Chiefs offensive line, not too shabby at all. So, I mean, what would you call domination? Let's say sack and a half and four quarterback pressures.
And a forced fumble.
Ooh, yeah.
I think forced fumble is a big deal. And if he gets an interception, I'll take that too. But I think a forced fumble really is a domination, man.
So a turnover in a multi-sack game, I think we would all agree that's domination.
Yeah. No, okay. I just do wonder, like, is that going to be their focal point of stopping that guy? Or are because of what he does, is the rest of the line going to benefit? And will they be more dominant than just him?
From the 817, bold prediction, Anthony Hitchens is the MVP with three sacks, six tackles for loss, and an interception. He better win MVP if he puts that stat line together. That's tremendous.
I love stats like that, man. I absolutely love stats like that. And then the last bold prediction, Kevin, on this list, this game is going to come down to the wire. I think it's going to be a blowout.
In favor of?
The Chiefs.
Ooh, wow. I mean, I think take that 2-1-4, 49ers are winning the Super Bowl.
I think the Chiefs are going to win this thing. And by the end of the game, you're going to go, all right, they won it with a big number. Now, I don't think that during the game, I think it's going to be close during the game, but at the end of the fourth quarter, you're going to look back and go, dang, that was a pretty big margin of victory.
Does this remind you at all of the Denver Broncos-Seattle Seahawks matchup?
If Peyton Manning fumbles,
obviously
on the
Mahomes
first snap,
is way more mobile.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Remember when Cuban trolled us all that he bet that would be the first play of the game?
Yeah. God, what are the odds you could have gotten out of that?
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
The whole Super Bowl fell apart after that. That's really interesting. Do you also think then that the 49ers will jump out to a big lead? Because oddly enough, that has been the MO of the Kansas City Chiefs is, oh, we don't really care what happens in the beginning of the game. We'll flip the switch. I just don't think that this is going to be the team where you can pull that off. Like, if they instantaneously fall into a 14-0 hole, I don't see this being a defense that they can just punish time and again and just jump right past them.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be one of those experiences that we're like, wow, this was not as close as we thought it would be. I think they're going to play good defense, but I'm very interested to know if the Niners can play the type of defense or play the type of offense that keeps up. I've seen them do it a couple times. I absolutely have. Kyle Shanahan's offense is good, but I think this is going to be a lot of fun as a Super Bowl.
I'm really okay. I think that is a super bold prediction. I don't know if I'm willing to go that direction. I guess I do kind of think this is going to be pretty close.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay, fair enough.
There's no way to prove me wrong.
I mean, at this point in time, I guess I cannot.
Yeah, see?
Wow.
That's how you make arguments, Shippy.
Stumped.
Boom.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Here's something we can all agree on. Would you like your opportunity to win $1,000?
Yes, please. Yeah.
It happens right now. The word is kid, like a goat. Text KID to 72881 right now.
A Jason kid?
No, that has too many letters. Oh, okay. I almost said something more specific that would have been used as a drop.
Say it again.
KID to 72881. Your opportunity to win $1,000 as part of our national contest. New word every single hour. The word right now is KID. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, do you think Eli Manning should be a Hall of Famer? Simple yes or no. 877-881-1053 AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. Because whether you like it or not, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Man.
We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.